This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we actually have a guest with us, Kathy Trevino. How are you, Kathy?
I'm doing great. How are you, Joni?
Well, thank you for asking. So just giving a brief bio on Kathy. So Kathy Trevino real estate is the only profession Kathy Trevino has ever known, and she wouldn't want it any other way. Representing a solid mix of clients, but specializing in listings, Kathy is licensed in both Texas and Oklahoma since 1997. She's been dedicating her career to helping motivated real estate agents grow theirs. The native Estonian operates largely on four tenets: her integrity, which has always guided how she lives and works, her dedication to excellence, customer service, her drive to ensure her agents' well-being, and ongoing commitment to education that enables her to bring new concepts to her team. Kathy currently serves on the Houston Association of Board of Realtors, as well as the National Board of Realtors. So, Kathy, thanks again for joining us today. And why don't you give us a little more background on yourself?
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And also, I wanted to say, Sean, thank you so much both for having me on the show. It's Absolutely. Such a pleasure and honor. I really appreciate y'all giving me this opportunity to share a little bit of what's happening here in the Houston area. But I, like you mentioned, I've been in the industry now a little over 25 years. So I am dating myself there. but I love what I do. I am the managing broker of Texas for Side, who's a brokerage here in Texas. We have over 500 agents and about 80-ish partners, what we call partners, or our DBAs under my brokerage license. Mm-hmm. And my husband's also a partner. He's also been in the industry for just around 25 years. My son's actually got his license. So just a family.
Nice.
Doing our thing. Yeah. But I got involved with the on the local level with the Houston Association of Realtors back in 2004-ish or so, when I had my own company and started with Management Central, which is one of the committees there with HAR, and then just kind of, you know, added another committee here and, you know, got asked or voluntold to go here and do this and do that. And lo and behold, you know, made my way up all the way up to the chair. So wasn't something that I had planned. It just kind of happened.
It's been great. That's awesome. We appreciate what you do, because I know it's not easy and it's a hard work. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. It's an honor.
Yeah.
So with the one of the first questions I had for you, you know, we have a lot of investors that watch this show, and a lot of homeowners and home buyers. And so right now, I think a lot of them, you know, are a little nervous. They're uncertain on where the market is, and I know nationally it's different in every markets, but specifically it's talking about Texas and Houston. Can you give our listeners some opinions and where you're, and maybe some of the you sit on a lot of different panels and hear a lot of different things mm-hmm. going on in the industry. Can you give us some insight on where you see the market headed for this year and maybe into next?
Definitely. And I appreciate that, because I know that's definitely on the forefront of a lot of people's minds, home buyers, sellers, you know, alike. And, you know, I have gone to a lot of conferences, recently just got back from Inman Disconnect in Palm Springs just last week, and mm-hmm. which was an amazing conference, because it actually, the Inman Disconnect is more for top executives. And it's a lot more intimate than some of the larger Inman conferences. And you get the opportunity to really have more one-on-ones with a smaller group of high-end professionals, mm-hmm. and we're able to share and talk about these type of things. You know, we're all going through this in our industry.
Right.
And so one of the things that, you know, I loved about it and coming back from it is that I guess we all can agree that no one really knows what's going to happen. You know, I wish we did. I wish we all had a crystal ball that can sit here and say, hey, this is where the market's headed. But I think that if we did, then, you know, we'd all be millionaires, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But The thing is that, you know, we all have to kind of wait and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our economy is taking, you know, right now, you know, a hit. And those are some of the things that we're watching as far as inflation, mm-hmm. interest rates. So last year, about midpoint of the year, interest rates started rising. And right. so it really started, you know, making a turn on our market. Mm-hmm. And the fourth quarter of last year was one of the toughest quarters that we had seen in years. Mm-hmm. It was the first time that we actually had a decline. And as far as, you know, seeing homes sales go down and many, many months and many years, actually. So, you know, but things are starting to pick up again. January is typically one of the slowest seasons mm-hmm. of the month of the year, actually. You know, with real estate, our industry is very cyclical. Mm-hmm. We have our slow months and we have our busy months. And so, and it typically, you know, falls like that pretty much every year. But, you know, with COVID, the past 2 years were just different. They right. were different years for us. And so what we're seeing is if we were to take COVID out of the picture, mm-hmm. you know, and really go back to 2019 and look at their numbers, the market is really not, you know, taking a biggest hit as what they're really predicting, because COVID really thrust us into a market that was unpredictable.
Yeah.
And it's not sustainable. So we're looking at the market going back to more of a normal market. And what I mean by that is pre-COVID numbers. Mm-hmm. So when you look at those numbers, they actually are leveling off at a pace that's not a nosedive or anything like that. And what I want to say also is that we're blessed to be in Houston.
Yes,
I mean, the Houston
so
market mm-hmm. is just an amazing, and it's just such a dynamic market.
Right.
We, you know, you are not in Texas as a whole, even. You know, we have so much to offer for Texas yeah. and Houstonians, and, you know, people are moving to Texas from all over. We've, you know, have people moving from the West and the East Coast mm-hmm. Because their market, unfortunately, is seeing those nosedives, where we here in Texas, we may be seeing a little bit of decrease in some of the prices or, you know, inventory, just things like that, that are probably going back to normal, where other parts of the country are really having a hard time. So
right.
what I can say is I'm glad to be in Texas. More proud to be in Houston, Texas,
yes.
because it has so much to offer.
Yeah.
We couldn't agree with you more on that. So Kathy, I know for buyers that are concerned about buying now, what advice would you give them?
You know, I would say, you know, it's always a good time to buy. Mm-hmm. You know, if you need to purchase a home and this is the right time for you to purchase a home, then purchase that home.
Right.
You don't want to wait. And so a lot of buyers have pumped the brakes on, you know, deciding whether they want to purchase a home or wait to see what interest rates are going mm-hmm. to do. Because we are hearing that interest rates may dip a little. I don't believe, and every economist that I have heard this year who have come in to give us an economic report of what they feel the market may bear later on this year, they're all saying that interest rates are going to hover right around 6%.
Mm-hmm.
They may dip a little into the fives. They may, you know, go a little bit into the sevens, but they're going to hover right around 6%. And so right now, if a buyer can get that rate, then it's a great time to purchase right now because there's not as much competition.
Mm-hmm.
Our inventory has started to increase. We are starting to see more and more inventory come on the market. So there's more choices for buyers. We're not seeing, and I'm not saying it all across the board for Texas or for Houston,
mm-hmm.
but we're not seeing the multiple offer situation like we were the same time last year, where you had
right.
you know, 20 offers that you were competing against mm-hmm. and we were, you know, competing against cash buyers who were bringing in above asking, and it was a difficult market for buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Buyers now are seeing more of, like I mentioned earlier, of a stable market where they have a little bit more control and maybe even asking for a little bit more, because homes are sitting on the market a little bit longer, sellers are willing to maybe negotiate a little bit more. And so I don't want to say that it's totally turned around to be a buyer's market, because it has not. We're sitting at 2.7 months of inventory. Wow. For the Houston market, mm-hmm. which is still a seller's market. Yeah. A balanced market is 6 months. We haven't seen 6 months market in
it's been a long time.
But we are getting more inventory on the ground, and that's great for buyers because they have more choices.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, it's always
the other thing. The other thing I would like to say is there's also opportunities for buyers for home buying assistance programs. HAR just really or is in the process of releasing their new program. It's the down payment resource assistance. And so home buyers can now go in and they can look for properties. Mm-hmm. And if that particular property qualifies for a program that may have a down payment assistance program tied to that or the area, they can actually qualify for those. And so it gives them the opportunity to be able to take advantage of some of these programs that are available out there that they may not have even known about.
That's great. Yeah.
Also, lenders are offering, you know, a lot of incentives right now. Builders are offering incentives for buyers as well. So we're seeing those again, mm-hmm. which last year we did not. And when I'm talking about as far as financing, buyers are also, we're seeing a lot of what they're calling the 2-1 buy down. Mm-hmm. A 2-1 buy down, basically, it allows the buyer to come in at a lower interest rate the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. So if they got if they qualified for, let's say, a 7%, or interest rates were at 7%, they can come in at 5% for their first year, and their second year it'll be 6%, and then that way they're taking advantage of those and the lower interest rates in the beginning portion of their loan. And should interest rates decide to fall, you know, during those 2 years, they can always refinance. Yeah. So one of the things that we tell our clients is, you know, you marry the home,
so you can,
there's options for buyers to be able who really need to buy to be able to buy.
Yep. Yeah. I love that.
One of our preferred lenders mm-hmm. is offering like a 3-2-1.
Yeah.
I think it's phenomenal, but I wish they need to do that for
the investment side.
Investment yeah. properties. Cause that's a lot of our clientele and is investment property is what they buy. So that's what my next question was. Are you advising buyers that are looking to purchase rental property? Are you still, you know, do you still think it's a good time? Do you feel, and my personal opinion, you know, I can preface that is, I still think it's, like you said earlier, it's always a good time to buy.
Well, and it's only getting more expensive as well, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but what's your opinion on that as far as investment?
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I think real estate's always a great investment. Mm-hmm. And of course, do your homework. One of the things that we always, request that our buyers do is, you know, hire a great realtor, you know, find the professional in your area, because like I mentioned, real estate is local. Mm-hmm. What's happening on one side of Houston or, you know, the state is going to be totally different from city to city and even from county to county and subdivision to subdivision, you know. Mm-hmm. So hire somebody that really understands the area so that they can pull those numbers for you. I think that's the biggest mistake that I find with investors a lot of times is they just don't do their homework, and then they think it's a great investment, and then they turn around, they're like, oh, maybe I'm not going to do as much as I thought I could for this home, you know? Yeah. And so they're in the hole, or they're maybe not making as much money as they thought they could. Mm-hmm. So I think by running the numbers always, you know, getting good contractors, getting, you know, qualified contractors, a qualified realtor who can really run those numbers for you is always important, whether you're buying or selling.
Correct.
Yeah. Good. So I know you've been in this business 25 years. You were in the last recession, and all the realtors that have, you know, there's so many realtors out there right now. What are you teaching your agents, and how can an agent thrive in like a challenging market like this and stand out from the rest of the competition?
Yeah. So, you know, HAR has just over 50,000 realtor members. Ooh. And this is the largest member count that we've had wow. ever. And so a lot of times when we're, what we're seeing is, you know, when the market turns, agents start getting into the business, you mm-hmm. know, but then, you know, what we're hearing now, is, you know, because the last 2 years were just, you know, very crazy years. I don't want to say crazy. They were crazy good, crazy bad. Everybody yeah. had a different experience there, but most agents had it very good yeah. years, yeah. last 2 years. And so you had a lot of people coming into the industry just for different reasons, whether it was the great resignation that everybody was quitting their jobs. You had a lot of virtual home people moving in, you know, working from home and all of those things. And it affected our industry. And so, you know, we're still seeing a lot of that. But what we are also seeing is that now that the market is turning, agents are not having, you know, saying, oh, gosh, I've had this listing now for 30 days. It hasn't moved. We don't have an offer. What's going on?
Yeah.
For those agents that's all they know in the last few years, they came in and they had 15 mm-hmm. offers a day or whatever. Those days, you know, it's going to be a little bit different, yeah. difficult. Agents. And mm-hmm. so, but for the agents that have been in the industry, like myself and a lot of others who have been in the industry, we know that, hey, you know, you can't stop doing what got you the business. And mm-hmm. so what we're teaching our agents and making sure that they know the realtor value mm-hmm. and really, really understanding their value and being able to explain that to the client, because we're getting hit from all over, you know, that, you know, there's no value in a realtor or you can cut their commissions. We're seeing all kinds of things. We're being, you know, from, you know, lawsuits from the DOJ and all kinds of things that are affecting our industry. Mm-hmm. And so it's never more important time to make sure that realtors understand their value and are able to explain it to the agents and why we're important. And so that's what we're teaching and making sure that our agents understand their value, know how to explain their value, and are really going above and beyond. Mm-hmm. And then utilizing the technology, you know, our industry has changed so much in the last few years. And it's not just real estate. Most businesses, you know, our industries have really changed just due to technology. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing a lot of different things, even just coming from this conference just last week. They were talking about, you know, how AI is going to really affect our industry, how ChatGPT is going to, you know, how we could utilize those type of things. Yeah. And you're like, what is that? You know, people are like, I don't even know what that is, you know,
new
but
world.
It's here and it's yeah. happening.
Absolutely.
And it's a way that's going to be coming our way that yeah. as a society, as of realtors, really need to understand it, because it's going to change the way we do business. Mm-hmm. And you either get on board or you get left behind, unfortunately. And so that's one of the things that we're really trying to teach our agents is learn the new technology. Education is power. Mm. Continue to learn.
Yeah.
I've been in this industry, you know, like I mentioned, 25 years, and I'm constantly taking courses. I'm constantly, you know, going to conferences and learning as much as I possibly can to be able to relate that information to my agents,
right.
because it's our industry is just constantly evolving and mm-hmm. changing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to educate yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
It's funny, this weekend I was ordering from a restaurant and I called in and it was an AI like bot,
yeah,
and it took my whole order, and it was all a robot. And but I mean, yeah, there's going to be so much crazy stuff that can help the client and especially the buyers mm-hmm. and help them find listings. But there's two sides, like you said. There's the technology, and we really got to embrace that. But then there's the other side. You're still going to need a realtor and an expert mm-hmm. holding. You know, use the technology to get you to maybe help more people and get ahead. But you're still going to need that realtor experience and, yeah. and expert and the pros.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. Exactly. Because, you know, we're the ones that bring that experience. We know our communities, mm-hmm. you know, AI can only do so much and chat right. and all that stuff. They're computer, but they don't have that relationship.
Right.
They can't make that relationship with their client. They don't know what's happening in our communities. They don't know what's happening, you know, in that specific subdivision. And mm-hmm. so that's where our value is so very much needed and how we can really help our clients.
Absolutely. Yeah, can you talk about your brokerage side? And I know you guys are right, very technology focused yes. company brokerage.
So
as
we
well.
Are.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are very technology. We're virtual. So like I mentioned, we have over 500 agents within the state of Texas with over 88-ish DBAs. And so we work a little bit different. Mm-hmm. We have DBAs under our license. And so we allow we work as a white label brokerage. So you will never see side on any of our marketing collateral. Mm. We allow our DBAs to be marketed. And so we have a lot of DBAs under side, and that's who you're going to really be seeing. So it's a different model. Mm-hmm. And our agents really enjoy it because they're able to be able to really market their brand. And side brings in the back end. So what side does is they bring in all the back end. We supply with accounting, brokerage services, insurance. They do a lot of the marketing. They bring in all the back end so that the partner can actually go out and really focus on growing their brand.
Yeah.
And bringing in more business.
I love that.
That's sweet. Yeah. Does the DBA have to just be licensed, or do they have to have a broker's license?
So there's only one broker. And so the DBA is registered with the Secretary of State. And then we register that under our license.
Sweet. That's a cool model. So, it's, I mean, they can have their own business essentially.
Yeah,
right?
Basically.
And be on their own, mm-hmm. end, which is what most
brand
want,
themselves,
but yet still have the, I guess the company or the systems and the support behind it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. sweet.
I love that model. That's great. So with that, I mean, we have a lot of listeners that maybe are thinking about starting their own businesses. You know, what advice would you give them?
Oh my, you know, do your homework.
I always say, educate
yourself, you know.
Disclose. Yeah.
Exactly. It's just a lot. You really have to find the right partner, mm-hmm. and making sure that, you know, you, like I mentioned, you know, I know I said, do your homework, but it is, you know, you have to find the right partner. And, with everything, there's always great opportunities, but you need to, do your homework, make sure that you're, partnering with the right people and, you know, just have a good attorney, all of those. Like, because you never know. And it's crazy because, like, right now when the market starts picking up, that's when you know, because you start seeing, you know, and we're seeing it all over, not just with side, but, you know, I'm on Texas Realtors as a regional vice president. I'm on the national board of directors for NAR and things. And so we get a lot of the information that's coming in from, you know, potential lawsuits and things that are coming across. You know, I like to read all that as far as risk reduction, just to see what's going on. And it's crazy because when things start getting busy, more lawsuits start happening.
Right.
You know, when the industry changes, or when financially, you know, whether there's a recession, there's a lot of people saying we're in a recession, we're not in a recession. Economists say that if we do go into a recession, it'll be a shallow one and narrow. We won't be in it for very long. But when you're seeing those type of things, you also see more lawsuits. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, but every time I talk to an attorney, they're like, yeah, we know things are happening because we're starting to see just lawsuits. And they could be frivolous, but it's just the whole process of having to go through it just to clear a name, right. or just get through it. So those are the things that, you know, take a lot of time out of your day, unfortunately, but you got to go through it. And as a broker, that's part of the role.
Right.
Yeah. So I was just curious, you had mentioned earlier, I think before we started the show, that, you know, you work with your husband, and then you also have one of your children working with you in your brokerage. Mm-hmm. Can you just give advice for people that, working with family and working with your spouse, do you have any good tips and tricks for?
That's funny. I always get that. It's like, how do you work with your husband and live with them and all that? You know, I think a lot of it is setting the tone and putting the parameters in place in the beginning. And, mm-hmm. you know, we've been doing this for a long time together. One of the things that we always did is, you know, if when we're at home, we don't talk real estate. I don't know what he's got going on, and he doesn't know unless there's a problem, because I'm his broker. So if there's a problem, then he'll come and tell me. But if it's like the everyday stuff, like, I don't want to hear it, you know, like, you deal with your stuff. And if there's an issue, you come to me. It's keeping it separate, because real estate can consume you, mm-hmm. and just like with anything, you know, but if you allow it, it can definitely consume you, and it can start, you know, issues within your marriage, within your family, whatever it may be. So we keep everything as separate as we possibly can. We treat everything as a business. Everything's a business. We keep everything as appointments. So if you have, you know, if you need to talk to me and it's real estate related, you're going to get in line just like the next agent, you know, all of those things. There's no favoritism, you know, all of that stuff. We keep it and we run it as a business. But I wouldn't have it any other way. I love working with my husband. He's amazing. We have a lot of fun. It's even more fun, you know, now that I have my son working with mm-hmm. us. My youngest is actually going to school for construction engineering. He wants to be a builder. And so, you know, I always told my kids, don't get into real estate.
Real estate's in their blood, though.
but they lived it. They, you know, it's crazy how you think your kids, you know, may not be listening to you.
Yes, but they are.
That's all they're doing is mm-hmm. listening to you. And mm-hmm. then they realize, man, that's what I want to do when I grow up, you know. Okay. But it's actually rewarding, too, because you think, wow, you know, they actually do want to get into the career and make this a family business. And it's pretty cool.
That is cool. Awesome. Well, Kathy, you know, if you could go back in your early 20s and you're still young, but what advice would you give yourself?
Oh, goodness. I would say when you think of, there's a kind of like that song, The Dance, when mm-hmm. you think of selling out, reconsider. We bought so many properties throughout our career, you know, just purchased them, flipped them and sold them, you know, and I wish I would have held on to them a lot longer mm-hmm. Because I never would have thought that the prices of homes would be where they are at right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you have the opportunity to hold on to something, hold on to it because it's only going to get, you know, grow in value, and hold on as long as you possibly can. So
almost every person that has been on the show has said that they yeah. wish they would have held on to more. So yeah. I believe that as well.
And that's, you great. Know, if the prices are right, buy it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So what's next for Kathy Trevino? So now that you're the chair, where do you see yourself in the next 5 to 10 years?
Oh my. Well, you know, it's really hard because like for HAR, I mean, HAR is the pinnacle, I believe, and I may be a little biased because I am, you know, here in my position, but I am with HAR. And I really do believe that this has just been the ultimate honor of my career. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm like, I don't even know. I think it's just continuing to grow our companies and focusing on that. I have a grandbaby coming.
Oh, and so congratulations.
Really looking forward to that and just, you know, spending a little bit more time with my grandbaby. And so I don't know. I, you know, I always say, Lord, put me where you need me, not where I want to be. And if he has a plan and I have no idea what that is, I'm going to do it. I'm here to serve him. And, you know, he's going to put me where he needs me.
That's awesome. That's great.
So are you going to be grandma? What are the other names?
Gammy. I don't know. I don't know.
It's funny. I do have a grandson. I do have several, actually. I have one grandson, two grandsons, and a granddaughter. They're in Arizona. Okay. And my oldest grandson, he's 10 now. It's funny because he actually calls me Lada. And you know, you never know where your name's going to come from. Yeah. It just came out as Lada and it stuck. And so I may just be Lada.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, that's so sweet. Well, Kathy, it's been a pleasure having you on this show today. You've added so much value to our listeners. I can't wait for them to hear all this. But how can people get a hold of you?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me again. You can always reach out to me directly on my cell phone, 713-516-6331, or via email at kathy.trevino@siteinc.com. Of course, you can always go to HAR and my information is there plastered everywhere. You know, just look me up and love to speak to anyone who may have questions.
Awesome. Well, thanks you again, guys, for tuning into the show. And if you like it, rate us or give us a review, and we will see you next time. Have a good one,
Thank
everyone.
You.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there. talking.
Cog, cog, cogging.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.